Thank you, Pastor Kevin. Can you all hear me okay? And I'm assuming by silence, that means you can. Excellent. What an honor, what a privilege it is to join you today. Definitely not accustomed to preaching to a computer screen, but I'm absolutely incredibly grateful, honored, and privileged to be able to share the Word of God and some of our story with you all the way from Cambodia. And so what I'd like to try to do today is just share a little bit of a background. Firstly, who we are as a family. Let's see, can open, there we go. So who we are as a family, how we got to Cambodia, how we feel God led us here, and then share with you a little bit about what we are specifically doing in Cambodia to fight against social injustices. And then finally, I want to unpack a little bit of scripture and just share some very practical ways of how we can get involved all over the world in this issue. I really appreciated Pastor Kevin sharing or asking me to share this morning. And he shared with me his notes from the messages he's been giving the last couple weeks. And yeah, so I feel like it's an incredible opportunity, because we've been able to spend, you know, several weeks unpacking the scriptural mandate, right? That we see all over the scripture, the heart of God, that the heart of God beats for the oppressed, the heart of God beats for the marginalized, those that society rejects. And he calls us to be advocates. He calls us to be the voice for those people. And I just looking at the notes, I feel like Pastor Kevin has done such a good job of unpacking scripture and showing the heart of God. And so my prayer today is that we can have a little bit more practical now what, right? We understand the basis of why we need to do this. Now, how do we do this? And so my prayer is that our testimony, our story, and what we share this morning can encourage you in that. So a little bit of background. As you can see, our cute little picture here, we are a family of four. My wife Jacqueline and I have been in Cambodia for 4.5 years, and we arrived with our firstborn son, Elijah, who is 4 years old. We arrived in Cambodia when he was just 3 months old. Just a little guy. And then we have Ezra, who in the picture, he's very small now. He's over 2. So we have 2 toddlers running around. So I'm up in the upstairs office trying to stay quiet up here. But if you hear screaming or yelling and laughter or whatever, that's just my little toddler boys running around being boys. So as Kevin mentioned, I'm half Australian, half American, grew up in Australia, in Canberra. And my dad was the pastor of Woden Valley Alliance Church. And I have so many memories growing up there. And one of them that I love to share really has kind of stuck with me even till today is many of you probably know Roy Barton. For many years, he would welcome us to our service and help to lead praise and worship. And he would always, always start the service by saying, "Welcome to Woden Valley Alliance Church. We are a part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, and missionary is our middle name." And so it's no surprise, growing up in that kind of atmosphere, that from a very young age, I felt a very strong call from the Lord to serve on the mission field. I didn't have any idea what that would look like, but I felt very convicted that is what God is calling me to. And my wife, who grew up in the U.S. At a very similar age, also at a Christian Missionary Alliance church, felt like she received that same call from the Lord. And so we ended up meeting when I moved to the States at 18. We met and we went to university together, to a Christian Missionary Alliance university in the States called Nyack College. And it was there we studied cross-cultural studies, which is it was there that I actually began to learn about this issue, this term, social justice. And it was when my wife and I first began to learn about human trafficking that the trajectory of our life forever changed. As we learned about this issue, it broke our hearts. It completely devastated us, realizing that there are people in the world experiencing this kind of pain, trauma, and injustice. And both my wife and I became compelled at that time that no matter where in the world we go, we need to be fighting against human trafficking. And so first I want to ask the question, what is human trafficking? I believe it's important to understand definitions because I'll be using that term throughout today. And just a very brief basic overview, human trafficking is modern day slavery. It's very hard to quantify because it is a black market industry. But there are estimates that say somewhere between 30 and 40 million people right now are enslaved around the world. To put that into perspective, that is more slaves than at any other time in history, more than during the transatlantic slave trade era. Under our watch, this is taking place right now. And I know right now our home in the U.S., Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, there's been riots, there's been protests, there's been incredible social unrest because of the racial divide, the racial injustices that are taking place in America. And I believe that this is a very direct reaction to this generational curse of racism, the generational bondage that has come from the legacy of slavery. And we're seeing this hundreds of years later continuing to rear its ugly head. And how much more the fact that right now we are seeing, like never before, multitudes enslaved. What kind of impact is this going to have in the next generations, the decades and centuries to come? And so I believe that it is our mandate to be fighting with all that we have within us against this issue. There are different kinds of human trafficking. When we use this term, there is sex trafficking, and that is where we are focusing our energy in Cambodia right now. There is forced or bonded labor, people having to work without pay or with little pay or trying to pay back some sort of debt that is unmanageable. There is child labor. There are child soldiers who are forced to take arms and fight in war. Finally, there's marriage trafficking, people being trafficked sometimes to other countries in order to become brides. All of these are evil. And all of these are things that we need to be putting energy towards fighting against if we are followers of Jesus. There's a famous author, evangelist, he's a modern day abolitionist. His name is R. York Moore. And he says this, slavery not only creates a new class of unreached people, but also a class of unreachable people kept out of the light of civil society. The Christian Missionary Alliance has a very rich heritage and has a very important focus on reaching the unreached peoples of the world. And so I have been working to be a voice in this movement, saying that the enslaved and the oppressed are one of the biggest unreached, near unreachable people group in the world right now. And so my wife and I moved to Cambodia 4.5 years ago in order to see the freedom of Christ unleashed to this people group. Our prayer is that the kingdom of God will come as it is in heaven to this group of people. But then why Cambodia? If this is a global issue that is being faced by every country in the world, why did we have to move to Cambodia to fight this? And I don't believe that everybody is called to move to Cambodia in this fight. And I'll share a lot more about that later. However, for my wife and I, when we learned about what is happening in Cambodia, as God was preparing us to serve on the mission field, we felt compelled to join the work of God. God is working in incredible ways here in this country. And I'm excited to share a little bit of that with you. It starts with one town. The town is called Swaypak. Swaypak is a small village on the outskirts of Phnom Penh, the capital city where we live. Swaypak is 11 kilometers north, and it's where we put the majority of our energy right now. Swaypak was a town in the past. I literally can't think of a place on earth more gripped by evil, more gripped by the enemy than this town. This town was the international destination for pedophiles to travel to purchase prepubescent children for sex. This was a town that was so gripped by poverty, desperation, and Satan's control that parents resorted to selling their own children. Sounds hopeless, right? But God. You see, everything that I described to you about this town was the condition of this town a mere 15 years ago. But the AIM was birthed in 2006 to see child sex trafficking abolished in Jesus' name. And since then, God has been using ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. AIM's vision is that the love of Jesus Christ through his followers will defeat the evil of sex trafficking and sexual slavery. And we believe that in fighting this evil, there are four key pillars that we need to be addressing in order to be adequately winning the fight. And so the first is rescue. Less than 1% of all trafficking victims worldwide are ever rescued. This should not be. And so AIM has birthed a rescue team known as the SWAT team. And we work with the Cambodian law enforcement, Cambodian government, to conduct investigations, to build cases, and actually to conduct raids, rescuing survivors, arresting the pedophiles, and arresting the pimps. And in the 5.5 years of AIM's rescue team in operation, AIM has rescued 1,500 survivors. Praise God. And yet that is only the beginning. We can rescue, but then we have to restore. These women and these young girls have experienced untold trauma, physically and emotionally, and they need restoration. They need to heal. And so AIM has a restoration home, a safe home for girls to experience love, the love of a mother, the love of Jesus, to receive healing. We have a doctor on site who is taking care of medical needs. We have house moms, we have social workers, we have counselors who are working around the clock to provide care, to provide support for the long journey towards healing, recovery, and freedom. The AIM Restoration Home has been in operation for 13 years. And in those 13 years, we have seen 800 girls restored. We praise God for those girls. But we can't restore a girl. We can't bring her to full healing and freedom and then send her back into the town where she was sold and expect that she will stay free. And so for that, we need to address reintegration. Reintegration is helping them to get back into society and remain free. And in order to do that, we need to provide vocational training and sustainable employment. And so AIM employs about 200 survivors. Making bath and body products, yarn spinning, culinary arts training, all these initiatives in order to provide sustainable opportunities for these girls to remain free after they have graduated through our program. And then finally, the fourth piece, you see these first three, rescue, restoration, and reintegration, these are the re, because they are responding to the issue. But none of these three actually fix the problem. And so in order to actually fix the problem, we need to prevent trafficking from happening. This is probably the hardest one to do because it's hard to quantify. And yet I believe it's the most important because this is the long-term solution. And this is where my wife and I are investing our energy right here. But for AIM, AIM began by planting a church in the town of Swaipak 12 years ago. And in those 12 years, we have seen revival breaking out. Cambodia has roughly 1% of the population following Jesus. But after 12 years in this town, now Swaipak has about a 10% population of followers of Christ, about 400 members attending this church on a regular Sunday. It's incredible to see what God is doing. We have baptisms every month. We have new people coming in, receiving care, and being shown the love of Jesus through this church. And out of this church, a whole plethora of ministries have been birthed. We have now a school in Swaipak with the vision to provide a high quality education to every single child in Swaipak. Out of this church has birthed what's called the Lord's Gym, which is a fitness center targeting the men and the boys of this community, breaking the cycle of the pimps who are selling the girls, selling the women, and instead raising up a generation of young protectors, of men who value women and value children. And we are seeing so many of these men being baptized, becoming leaders in the church. And it's incredible to see. As I mentioned, my heart is with preventing trafficking. And I do that by using the skills that God has given me. I have a heart for discipleship, for training up Cambodians, for mentoring and helping Cambodians to rise up out of poverty and out of difficult situations. But God has gifted me with skills and training in videography, in photography, in music, in kind of creative spheres. And so I've always struggled with, how do I use music? How do I use a camera to fight against the evil of sex trafficking? Process of teaching me ways that I can actually leverage this that he gave me in order to impact the kingdom. And so for AIM, my role has been the field media manager. So using film photography to help to tell the story of what God is doing in Cambodia to the whole world, to raise awareness, to raise up soldiers to join in this fight against the evil of trafficking. And I've been able to raise up a team of Cambodian creatives who are now actually running full-time with the media for AIM. And I've kind of actually worked myself out of a job. So now there's three of them that are running the media for AIM. And now I just work with them one day a week, helping to continue mentoring and training and discipling them. And so that's allowed me to actually invest in a new endeavor. And my heart is to use media, creative arts, to actually take what we have learned in Swaipak with prevention and spread that all across the country of Cambodia. And so I'm currently working to launch a media production company called Ruang Studios. Ruang is the Khmer word for story, so Story Studios. And our goal is to raise up a generation of young Cambodian Christian creatives who use media and the creative arts to transform the country through the power of the gospel, as well as through the abolition of trafficking. So taking Facebook and YouTube, which are absolutely king here in this country, and leveraging that to reach demographics that we have been unable to reach thus far with high quality creative media to be able to teach, engage, empower children and women to be able to rise up out of the slavery that they can so easily fall into. And so I want to share with you a video that that I and my team made for AIM that features it features a story of one of my staff, but I think it helps to show why prevention is so important. And as I'm sure you can tell, my video connection isn't great, so I'm going to try to play this video. It may not flow very well, but it's all subtitled because it's all in Khmer, so you should at least be able to hear the story of Kim Loy. So I'm going to share that with you now.
Kim Loy, yom ayu da pumbun chnam. Bas mam yom mung kung yom kat na da bas wai pa ni chen yom open da oy ka kro chi chan ko tai yom mat thong thot lan ti ni yom chung min ngay mua yi thức. Mi chờ đâu, mi chờ đâu. em có xóa con ăn con ấy chứ nè chắc là phải nhóm xua con nhóm nên mà con chấp con ban xong là ngơ mồi mà mình nhóm hay nhớ con dậy trên thế cứ con cho ban nhóm tới chương ca đó luôn mía bởi sao nhóm mình nhóm nhóm score về ca đó luôn chứ nhóm bị ai cà phê nhóm bàn tay nhóm mà cho ai mình mình để đây là món xoài bán đi còn tự tua rong là ca đó chương nhóm bàn score còn cái em tạm biệt về nhóm máu khi không chúng ta đã nói để thua rồi, thì sao là con cái em muốn hai để thua rồi chúng mình bán đi chung đàn thôi. Chúng cùng ở với cả nói hai chúng mình nhung cho bằng nghĩa không ai nhung cho con score bị bỏ hay nhung cho con đơn thà. Cả nói luôn vì ác quá và tay nhung chưa chạy tha, con đã chính vì cả nói về được khi bỏ tên một hàng. Chúng ta đã ăn một hơi để thừa nhưng trong cà phê sẽ nặng cùng nhau trong lòng mình đẹp xe không cả đầy một lùng lùng mẹ đừng có giá cùng nhau hỏi tụi bên mình cả chưa chẳng còn ở nơi cái lãnh đi thì cái lãnh đi tôi muốn bị lập bấy à khó hỏi tay nhưng cho ai thì cái lãnh đi nên ngày nào có bị lập bấy tôi chưa hỏi hay mua tiết câu đau của nhưng mua tiết kia nhưng cho ai mẹ nhưng mà cho ai quạt khai tôi chưa mình đầy tớ để sống cùng kẹo từ tôi score nhưng cho ai mình đi đi à còn nên ngày nào cốt cốt còn ó hay nhưng trong khơi còn lặp lại để còn sáng
yeah so this is why we do what we do and I believe that scripture makes it clear that we need to be pleading the cause of those like Kim Loy. I know you unpacked several passages over the last few weeks, and I'm going to re-highlight maybe a few that you've already gone through, but I believe they are very important. Isaiah 58 says this. It's in Isaiah 58, verses 6 to 7, it says this, "Is not this the kind of fasting that I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice, and to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter?" I believe that this passage is not only talking about trafficking survivors in Cambodia. I believe this speaks to those in our neighborhoods all around the world, even in hungry, impoverished, and disenfranchised. Another verse that has kind of stuck with me through many years is James 1:27. It says this, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." I believe that the reason trafficking continues to exist in our world is because the church has not adequately responded to the call of James 1:27. And not just in meeting the needs of survivors, but investing in families, in communities, in those that are disenfranchised. And so I want to ask a question. Whom in your midst is in need? I know in Australia there are 55,000 out-of-home care kids right now, kids who have had to come out of their home for safety. 55,000 right now. And Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children are 8 times more likely to receive these services as non-Indigenous children. I believe that just as America's legacy of slavery is still wreaking havoc on today, I believe that the oppression from the past in Australia continues to wreak havoc today. These kids are at highest risk of being trafficked today. Not only that, there are roughly 6,000 homeless right now in Brisbane. And there are 150,000 people in the city living below the poverty line. There is so much need all around us. We do not have to look far. We do not have to go to the other side of the world to see those that James 1:27 is talking about, to see those that Isaiah 58 is calling us to reach. I believe that it's time for the church to take a stand and to adopt and embrace families, individuals, and communities who are in need, right here in Cambodia, and then right there where you are in Brisbane. I believe that this is going to be uncomfortable. It is messy. It's not easy. But brothers and sisters, the cross is messy. Jesus is our example. He left the presence of God for the pain of the cross. Isaiah makes it very clear that God, if it comes at the expense of serving those in need. And I'm speaking to myself as well. And I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, the church is the hands and feet of Christ on earth. If we are not touching the world, if we are not invading the darkness with his light, then we are just as guilty as the Israelites that Isaiah is preaching against. But it doesn't stop there in Isaiah 58. There is a promise. It goes on to say, then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then you will call and the Lord will answer you. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I. Your light will shine in the darkness. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. I believe that the enemy has claimed his territory. 30 million people enslaved in our world today is a darkness that we've never seen before. And yet, we are called the light in the darkness. We cannot remain in our churches. We cannot remain in our small groups, in our Zoom chats, with the light covered by a bowl. I want to encourage and challenge you, brothers and sisters, when it comes time to click hang up and end this call, we need to be going out. We need to be marching, taking up arms and marching into the darkness and making that darkness flee in Jesus's name. And so my prayer for myself and my prayer for you, brothers and sisters, is this, that we will be a generation of the body of Christ who truly raises their voices against injustice, who cries out as a voice for the voiceless, and in doing so, will be a generation who hears the Lord speak, who receives his healing promise, who dwells in his light and sees his glory breaking through the night. And in doing that, we can see chains broken and captives freed in Jesus' name. I believe that it's time for us to take up the fast of setting the oppressed free. Will you join me in doing that? Let's pray. And as we come into a time of prayer, I just want us to meditate for a few moments on a few questions. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, what is God calling you to surrender? How is God calling you to get uncomfortable to follow him? Who is in need around you? And are you willing to commit to adopting and embracing, even if it takes sacrifice, even if you have to go out of your way, even if it's uncomfortable? I believe that for some of you, God may be asking you to sacrifice all you actually physically have to go to the nations and to serve him there. And if you are feeling this pull, I strongly believe that's the Holy Spirit at work. And so please don't let this time go by without talking to your pastor or a spiritual mentor. But for every single one of us, we have a call. Our true religion, our true worship must be a part of serving those in need. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for all that you are doing in the world today. I thank you, Lord. You know the end of the story. Father, I'm reminded of a passage, Isaiah 14:27. For the Lord Almighty has purposed, and who can thwart him? His hand is stretched out, who can turn it back? Lord, nobody can stop you in what you are doing. Lord, may we just get to join you in it. It is a privilege to be your children, to be your ambassadors. Lord, I pray that you empower through your Holy Spirit my brothers and sisters today to take up arms in this fight against this evil. Empower each one of us through your Holy Spirit, and may we go out as bearers of your light. And that's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.